We are very lucky that we haven't had many deaths here. Nearly all the explosions here happened in the mills, although a horrible accident killing two of our workers was actually in the pellet house. But I'll tell you more about that later on your tour. The mills were built as two groups, one of three and another of eight mills. They have three very strongly built walls with a flimsy timber front wall and roof. When the mills explode, the roof and the front blow off, leaving the main structure and the machinery relatively unscathed. It's easy to rebuild the front and roof. Each mill has a special automatic water drenching system, which comes into action when there's an explosion. There are also water tanks nearby to jump into if we, heaven forbid, catch fire. We are strictly forbidden from walking in front of a mill building. It's far too dangerous. We have special passageways which allow us to get in from the back. If we think a thunderstorm is coming, we have to shut down the mills and wait until it passes. Our factory diary of events records countless explosions in the mills. Mill operators aren't allowed to stay in the buildings whilst milling is taking place. We have to wait in the watch house. Good thing is all I can say. We gather round the main gates for a last cigarette before the day's work starts. At 7:30 sharp, the bell rings and it's off to the search house, just beyond the gatehouse. They search us for any matches, pipes, cigarettes, or anything that could cause a fire or explosion. We can have them back at the end of the day. We're given our keys and then it's off to the watch house to get changed. I'm what they call a danger building worker, meaning I work in a dangerous building. That means we have to get changed to special factory clothes. We each have two barrels, one for clean clothes and the other for working clothes. After a day slogging with charcoal and black powder, we can be blacker than coal miners, I can tell you. Our work clothes have no pockets or metal bits. Our special rules booklet tells us we mustn't turn up our trouser bottoms in case we carry grit into a danger building. The forewoman searches the girls for metal hairpins in their changing room. Us danger building workers also have two pairs of special leather safety slippers held together with wooden pegs. One pair, the dirty pair, is for walking from the watch house to our work building. The other pair, the clean pair, are for wearing on the clean floors inside the building. Once we've put the right ones on, it's off to work. At midday, we get a lunch break, not forgetting to put on our dirty slippers as we come out of the buildings, and then it's back to work afterwards. We have to sweep out the danger buildings at the end of the day. Then we have a well-earned bath and get changed back into our own clothes within our working hours. Fair play to the management. We pick up our cigarettes and whatnot from the search house, and at 4:30 the bell rings again and it's time to head for home. Now for a sad but true story. Two of my colleagues, millwright Mr. Jones and his helper David, were working in pellet press number 70. They were oiling and moving the press moulds to keep the idle press from getting jammed, as was the custom. There were about 300 pounds of powder in the building at the time. The manager, Mr. Moses, visited the building at 11 a.m. and spoke to millwright Jones, and everything was in order. At 11:30 a.m, however, the pellet press building exploded. Mr. Moses was on the opposite side of the river at the time, about 200 yards away, and was first on the scene and found millwright Jones with his legs trapped under stones. He was released after some difficulty. David found his way to the water leak nearby and had evidently jumped in to put out his burning clothes. He walked home to Dyffryn Golwg, Pontnefechen. Unfortunately, both men died during the night from shock. And now for the horse's tail. Without horses, we couldn't run a gunpowder factory here. Our horses work the all-important tramway, moving both raw materials and finished products. The tramway runs through the entire 2 mile length of the works. It actually starts at the Vale of Neath railway siding near Pencadrine Tunnel and goes down an incline, the full trams pulling up the empty ones, from where the horses pull the materials to the factory entrance and beyond. The tram lines are made of wood instead of metal, and the horses have special copper shoes to prevent sparks. To keep them safe, we have to unhitch the horses before loading or unloading the covered tramway trucks they pull. Trucks containing powder are not to go within 50 yards of another one whilst moving, again for the horses and the horse leader's safety. I can show that horses have pride of place by the fact that the stableman has a cottage on the works premises near the 10 horse stables. Only the foreman and millwright enjoy similar privileges. Horses that are ill or are sore from pulling heavy loads are put out to graze until they are better. One of our finest ever horses, Duke, won the first prize at the Glyneathan District First Annual Horse Show in 1922 for the cleanest and best turned out. Unfortunately, Duke went lame in 1927 and was put down. Our factory events diary records the comings and goings of all our equine friends. You may be wondering what gunpowder is made of. Well, I can tell you, and I'll try to keep it simple. The raw ingredients are 75% saltpetre, 10% sulphur, and 15% charcoal. These are lumpy when they arrive, so we grind them down separately into powdery granules. We then take each material to the mixing house, where we mix them together, making what we call the green charge. We then take this to the charge house until it is needed at the mills, very dangerous buildings, but more on that later on your tour. The mills have huge mill wheels which mill and squash the charge until it is sort of pressed down powder. The powder is then taken to the cake press house, where powerful presses squeeze it into 1-inch thick slabs. We then break the cake into pieces to go into barrels for transporting. We then turn the cake into two main gunpowder products in the buildings further upstream. Finished powder comes in either grain or pellet form. For quality control, we have a powder testing area, complete with an old cannon. We have to shoot an 8-inch diameter cannonball a certain distance to meet the specification. That ball is heavy, I can tell you. Black powder isn't suitable for gun sports, but the local fur and feathers fraternity use it just the same. Thing is, the hunted animal has a sporting chance. After aiming and firing the black powder cartridge, a huge black cloud of smoke appears between the hunted and the hunter, making it difficult to know whether the shot has reached its target.